How's your flight back?
Early. How are you?
I'm good. A little sleep. We're good to go.
So you got to look at the game again, I hope.
Let's try to be friendly here. Ask it, have you got any sleep?
Yeah, I did. So you got to see the game again. With Nick and the wide receivers, what do you see there? There's a lot of targets and not a lot of catches through two games.
Yeah, we had a few drops at the wideout spot. We also had a couple of balls that probably could have been placed a little bit better. So, you know, they got to come up with the catches, and we got to place the ball a little bit better.
George in particular has had a couple drops. Is that just normal growing pains for a rookie, or is that something he's really got to clean
no,
up?
I just think, you know, he did it. You watch his first game when he came out against Chicago. He had a couple drops, and then bounced back big in the second preseason game against the Patriots. So some of it's just concentration, fingers, tips, eyes to the catch, make sure you're tucking it away. Just little fundamental things, but not anything that we're concerned about.
Are defenses giving Foles different looks than it did last year, or what are you seeing that's
going
wrong?
I think people are pretty straightforward in terms of what they've played us in the first two games. So, you know, we got a lot more zone against in the Jacksonville game, but that's kind of their MO. You know, I think we've saw predominantly a four-down nickel front the entire game against Indianapolis. They did a good job of mixing up man and zone, but it was nothing that we haven't seen before.
Is it just fundamental stuff then when he is misfiring?
You know, it's a lot of things. I mean, there's a rush. Sometimes he doesn't have a chance to set his feet, so he gets pushed off his mark a little bit. So it's always a combination of there's not just one thing. If there's one thing, and then it's easily correctable. But if there's not just one thing, it you got to kind of work on everything. So sometimes the pocket gets collapsed a little bit, and they get walked back into him. Sometimes he needs to step up a little bit when it's a wide outside rush. You know, there's a lot of combinations of those things. So
what do you think it says when guys like Nick and LaShawn and Macklin all say, you know, like, we could be playing better and stuff, and yet you guys are still leading the league and, you know, points scored and offense and all that?
I think they're very honest in their assessments, and they understand that they can improve. So it's, you know, no one should be patting themselves on the back in anywhere that, you know, we're fortunate to be 2-0. We've done a great job of coming back in both games, but there's a lot of work on in every aspect of the game that we need to work on. So, and that's a great thing about this group. They understand that.
As you watched the last 5 minutes of the game from the interception on, what stood out to you in particular about that rally there?
I don't think anything stood out in particular. It's just kind of what we trained to do, and how we played is what we expect our guys to play like. I think they have a good sense and understanding of what we're trying to get accomplished, and, you know, they don't panic in those situations, because we've tried to, as a staff, to put them in those situations from a training standpoint so that they've been through that before. So, you know, it's really just go back to your preparation. And we say it all the time, is no one rises to the occasion. You always sink to your level of training, and, you know, that's how we trained. And you heard our guys talking about it after the game. This is no different than period 22 on a Wednesday or a Thursday for us. So
how does the addition of Jenkins kind of manifest itself in the film? What do you see from them? You guys sounder back there?
Yeah, I think obviously there's a little bit more. There's a guy back there making the calls and being distinct in terms of getting everybody set back there. But he always seems to be a knack for making big plays. You know, came up huge again last night. Is around the ball, made you know, had a couple pass breakups, tackles. Just what we expected when we got him here. You know, we thought he was obviously our top target, and I think it's paying off for us right now.
What has Zach Ertz done in terms of being such a viable option downfield as a tight end?
I just think there's a lot of matchup things when you have Zach. So if you do choose to play man, you have to man everybody. You just can't man the two outside receivers. So if you do, I think our inside receivers, himself and the running backs coming out of the backfield, become matchup problems too. So the quarterback always in man situations is trying to find his best matchup. So, you know, I think he's got some unique qualities that he's tough for a linebacker to cover, but he's also hard for a DB to cover because he's 6'5". So there's a, you know, kind of a catch-22 in terms of how you're going to defend him.
To Zach's question, do you think when the defense 2 weeks in a row seems to be playing better as the game goes on, mm-hmm. towards the end, you took a quarterback famous for his end-of-the-game heroics and 3-and-out of them. Do you think that's as much conditioning as adjustments at halftime?
I think it's a combination of everything. I think there's a feeling out process how people are going to play you. You know, they ran the ball, I think, a little bit more than we thought they were going to run the ball in the first half. So you got to make some adjustments from that standpoint. But I also think our players, as the course of the game went along, you could see them growing, their confidence growing, and getting an understanding of what we're trying to do. So I think it's a combination of all those things.
After the game, LaShawn said he needs to get going. What goes into that? What does he need to do to have the production that he had last year?
I mean, I think rating his production against last year is meaningless in my opinion, because we're not trying to win rushing titles. We're trying to win football games. So I think he's always a very, very harsh critic of himself, which is a very admirable quality. You know, I think that's one thing that pushes him. That's why he trained so hard in this off season. But we're not – our standards is trying to win every football game each week, and that's it. So, you know, he's still getting a – I think he had 20-plus touches yesterday again. You know, he's – sometimes things are geared to take him away. If they're geared to take him away, then other guys have to make plays. So, you know, it's we have enough weapons around LeSean where you have to pick your poison, so to speak, in terms of who you're going to defend. And people are kind of honed in on him, and rightly so. But now the other guys, it opens the field up for some of the other guys. So some of our big plays have all occurred on play-action passes. There's a reason for that. If you're going to gang up on the run game, then we should have guys open and play-action pass. So I think he's doing a good job. He's training real well. And, you know, it just depends on how people are going to defend us on a week-to-week basis. So.
What kind of intel did you have on Darren Sproles before you guys traded him? Because you've talked a lot about intel in terms of – you've talked a lot about his work ethic and how
it's
many –
like a spy movie or – I mean, we've watched game film and we've watched a game film and just studied him and obviously, you know
– well, I'm talking about his personality and his work ethic and that kind of stuff. Did you guys have any idea that he was that
– Well, I knew about his work ethic. I think that's kind of – when you just talk to coaches that dealt with him, I know I – North Turner raved about him when he had him when he was with the Chargers. So you knew for the type of work ethic and person he was. You know, you listen to some of the reports about everybody loving him as a teammate and all that. So, you know, you go back to the background stuff that the scouts did when they were when he was coming out of college at Kansas State and what they had to say about him, and you read all those reports. So, you know, it's the same general kind of intel that we have for any free agent. You know, you're trying to just do your research and find out about him. So,
what do you know about Michael Kendrick's injury, and is he going to be available for you guys for practice?
He got a calf. I do, again, this is week, what, second week of the season. We had 17 last week. I don't talk to the trainers until after this meeting, so I don't have anything from last night. He's got a calf. They sent him to get an MRI. We do that with everybody that has a muscle thing, so we'll just see where he is. But I don't have anything else besides that.
What did you see from Kelly and Gardner?
That they both competed really, really well, you know, and against a real big, stout, strong front. You know, it helped having someone like Dennis, who's a big physical player in there. And I thought both those guys held up really well, you know, for their first starts of their career, or actually the first starts in our offense. I know Dennis had started before and Andrew just getting him. So I thought both those guys did a pretty good job in their first chance in the limelight. So,
did you have the idea about Sproles before the playoff game, or did that playoff game really get you thinking about Sproles and –
Neither. And the playoff game is nothing. We didn't really it was in February when you heard he was going to get released, but it wasn't like after the playoff game. It was like, we have to get that player. It was, you know, he was under contract with New Orleans. He didn't know he was going to be released. So when the story came out, or when the intel came out that he may be released, then we started doing some research on him. And then obviously I think some other teams are interested. That's why it ended up being a draft pick and not a straight release. So.
On his 57-yard catch early, did he have options on that route? And can you kind of tell me what he saw and why he decided to take it?
He's just running a man route versus a linebacker and set him up and stuck it and took it. Jimmy, any other questions?
On Parkey's first miss, did you sense anything that he felt a little down at that particular point, knowing that for him that's probably a chip shot? And did you say anything to him to sort of, I don't know, make sure that his confidence was at the same level?
I didn't say anything to him, and I didn't see any difference with him coming off the field. You know, I didn't see him hanging his head or whatnot. And honestly, the only thing if I was going to say anything, I would have just said kick it straight, because there's not much else I'm going to say to a guy in that situation. I think he knew he missed it. Everybody in the stadium knew he missed it. We knew he missed it. But, you know, he just seems to carry himself in a certain way that you don't have to worry about him. You don't look over and say, God, he's down, I got to go pick him up. It's, you know, it's the same thing when he hit the first game winner, you know, and then they called the timeout. You know, we were on the field, and they said there was a timeout, so we were coming off the field. I looked over at him, made a big smile on his face. It was, all right, I got this. So, you know, I think there's a lot about his makeup that you really kind of like.
Some analysts had said that they threw, like, the Stanford defense at you or et cetera because of, you know, the coach. Did they do some stuff similarly that you had seen in college from
Indianapolis? No, that was nothing. Stanford was a 3-4 spacing team that played us in 3-4 spacing all the time. Those guys played us a nickel almost the entire game. So,
how far along is Wade Smith at this point, and was he ready to play last night?
He's about a week along, you know, as much as we can expect. He would have played if there was an injury. We would have obviously he was going to be the first guard in before David. Dave was going to be the center in. And really, Wade probably would have been the first guy in. We probably would have bumped Todd or Dennis out to tackle if we had a tackle injured, you know, because we really only carried a guard and a center, you know, in our seven guys with the two guys up. So he would have been the first guy in last night if necessary, but been really impressed with how quickly he's picked everything up. You know, he's a real veteran of it. He's a really, really smart football player. So, you know, hopefully fortunately for us, we didn't have to get to him, but I think we would have some confidence if he went in a football game right now.
When you decide whether to stick with Dennis or go with Wade Sunday, I mean, how do you –
I thought Dennis did really well, so I'm not anticipating anything different right now.
When you looked at Jenkins' interception again, what did you think of the contact between?
There was contact, you know, and when you watch it in, I think any penalty when you look at in super slow motion, you can kind of it seemed like to me when you watch a coach's tape, it was a bang bang play. But if they threw a flag on it, you couldn't argue a flag because there was contact. So,
what makes Sproles such a good screen guy?
I think he has the ability to go from 0 to 60, so to speak, very, very quickly. And I think a lot of guys, sometimes it takes him a little bit while to get going. You know, he can kind of find his way out into the screen, whether he's got to go inside the tackle or outside the tackle, and then be patient enough once he gets the ball to take off. But I think he also has great vision to understand where his blocks are coming from and sets them up really, really well. And then when he has the opportunity to go, you know, he can hit it really, really quickly. So got a unique skill set. I also think he's difficult to see sometimes when, you know, he's coming up inside the line of scrimmage and then working out into the screen path.
Do you notice at all that, like, the first two games that opponents might have, like, tired out a little bit in the fourth quarter? And if so, is that something you try to take advantage of?
I don't know if we – I mean, I think, obviously, in the Jacksonville game, it was – a little bit more obvious just because of the conditions. It was a pretty hot day outside, so we felt obviously when we're playing the Colts in game two that they're pretty big across the front. I think they did a good job of really rotating their defensive line, so getting them in and getting them out, but I think everybody kind of gets a little fatigued when you get towards the end of the game, especially such an intense game like that. So then
is that something you try to exploit then, if you notice that?
I don't think exploits the word we're looking at. I mean, we're still calling the same plays that we called in the first quarter. It's just sometimes I think maybe they work a little bit better at the end when the other team's fatigued. But it's not, I don't know if there's we don't have a go-to call, so to speak, from let's run this because they're this. You know,
Chip, there was a second and 10 play in the third quarter where Nick ran 9 yards, slid feet first, came up a yard short. You guys were stopped on 3rd and 1. It looked like if he went head first, he probably would have got the first down. Do you want him doing it exactly that way, slide feet first?
It depends on how many people are around him, but there's certain times we're coaching him to go to kind of dive for it, and obviously you can get a little bit of extra yardage, but you also, if you go feet first, they can't hit you. If you go head first, they can hit you, so it's you got to kind of see what's around you. You know, I know Mike used to get critiqued for that all the time because Mike never went feet first, but Mike used to take some shots, so, you know, there's a fine line there. You know, obviously if it's that close to the first down, you're hoping they go that way, but if Nick gets hurt and gets banged up in that situation, then you're saying he should have went feet first. So, you know, we're hoping, I think, for us, though, offensively, we need to convert on 3rd and 1 after that. That's not a – because we pulled up a little short on the slide isn't the answer why we didn't get the first down. You know, we didn't block it up the right way when we went for it on 3rd down. So,
do you feel like you need to get the outside receivers going, or is that just going to be a product of when the offense
– I don't – I mean, not alarming to me. I think we lead the league in yards and we lead the league in points. You know, we want – but I want everybody to play better. You know, I think I want our outside receivers to play better. I want our inside receivers to play better. I want the running backs. I want offensive line. I want everybody. So, but I still think we're getting production. It's not like if you take the thing about this group was we're built, you know, in a manner that I think that we have more than just two weapons. So, if for some reason they're going to decide to say, hey, we're going to go try to play press man and play those guys out there, then we have to be able to beat each other other places. And that's one of the reasons, you know, it happened to us last year. And I think bringing Jordan in, getting Ertz, you know, a little bit more playing time, getting another running back in there is who's going to match up with your inside guys. Because we got in that situation a lot last year, and our outside guys kind of got shut down. So now you got to get to your slots and your tight end. So
How about with Cooper specifically? He had one catch for 8 yards, I think, last night.
Mm-hmm. Hit him on another one that I think he put down. You know, we had I think two drops in there. So, you know, really just, again, game plan. I know that maybe when you guys let's pick apart something, well, we don't get a lot of plays to the outside. We don't care where the production comes from. You know, you end up getting 460 yards of offense and scoring 30 points. It's enough for us to win, so we're happy with it. So,
is he getting the separation, enough separation on this route?
He's getting the same separation he had last year. You know, it's the same thing. If we get an opportunity to make plays, we got to make plays. You know, but I'm very happy with Riley. We had the same conversation first two or three games into last season, and then all of a sudden he had an outstanding season. So,
he's trained less than 24 hours after a game. What do you expect to get out of today's session? And was the staff able to do anything yesterday for Washington?
Yeah, we do our pregame stuff all the time. So whenever we're our stuff is done, except for the last game, and we got our last game done yesterday. So we're ready to go as a staff. We've already been game planning all day. We've been in here early this morning, and we'll go out this afternoon, and we expect our guys to have a Tuesday. It'll be a walkthrough because we had a game yesterday, so it's a little different than a normal Tuesday training session. But, you know, our eyes are set on Washington, and I expect our guys to be 100% focused on that.
Did you see that screenshot that ESPN had of your play sheet?
No, I was actually at the game, so I didn't get a chance to see the TV copy yet.
People have talked to you about it.
Nobody has talked to me about it yet, so.
If they did, what would you say? You could read everything that was in part. I mean,
that's why they're the worldwide leader, right?
Is it upsetting in the sense that maybe...
I don't know. I don't really watch TV copies, so, I mean, if that...
Coach, you may have some intel on your Redskins.
Okay. I mean, there's not much to do about it. They already did it, right? I mean, am I going to complain about it?
What's your thoughts on going up against Deshaun if he plays this Sunday and competing against him?
Yeah, we're excited. They got a bunch of really good receivers with Deshaun and with Pierre Garçon and Roberts and the young kid Ryan Grant out of Tulane's another good receiver. So it's going to be a big challenge for us. Okay. Thanks, guys.